Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to our New Year's Eve service at Peace Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Roger Huffman. We welcome those who are here in person and those who are joining us through our Zoomcast. We call this a candlelight evening service. Of course, the Christ candle still burns among us in the middle of this Christmas season. But along the back, we have six candles. Whenever you see six candles in the sanctuary area, they symbolize the six days of God's creation, and the seventh day is the day of rest that we're all gathered for worship. And in addition to that, around the base of the cross, we also have three candles that remind us that we gather in the name of the triune God. Candles are great, but if not communicating a message that reaffirms our faith, that's all they are. They're not proclamation of what we stand for. So this evening's service is printed for us in the worship folder. Those who are watching online, some of the opening hymn is straight from the hymnal. The other hymns are slightly modified to fit the New Year's Eve setting, so please follow along there. We gather this evening with lights on the altar with hymn 69, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night. Hymn 69, please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal Father, before whom all generations rise and fall, teach us to think earnestly on the brevity of our lives and in the immensity of your goodness. Help us to enter the new year, trusting in the name of your Son and walking in the way of his peace, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson chosen for this observance of New Year's Eve, where our theme for our service, that we are under the shadow and the wings of our God. And we see that in the case of the Exodus. This takes place as God had brought his people right up against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh changes his mind and goes after them. What's the reaction? Worry, fear, and anxiety. Exactly the opposite of the quietness that Moses calls upon them. Where will that come from? From the work of the angel of God, the pre-incarnate Christ. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. The Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you took us to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Wasn't this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the salvation from the Lord, which he will perform for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You must wait quietly." The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to set out. As for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide the sea so that the Israelites can go through the middle of the sea on dry ground. I myself will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go into the sea after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his entire army, through his chariots and his charioteers. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and charioteers." Then the angel of God, who was going in front of the Israelite forces, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and stood behind them. It went between the Egyptian forces and the Israelite forces. The cloud was dark on one side, but it lit up the night on the other. Neither group approached the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at night and all night long, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned the sea into dry ground. The waters were divided. The Israelites went into the middle of the sea on dry ground. The waters were like a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and charioteers, went after them into the middle of the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian forces from the pillar of fire and cloud. Then he confused the Egyptian forces. He jammed their chariot wheels, and they had difficulty driving them. The Egyptians said, "We must flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters will come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their charioteers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea returned to its normal place. While the Egyptians were fleeing from it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the middle of the sea. The waters came back and covered the chariots and the charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh, that went into the sea after the Israelites. Not even one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the middle of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were like a wall for them on their right and on their left. On that day, the Lord saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the mighty hand with which the Lord put into action against the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in Moses, his servant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Respond to this great, glorious gospel of deliverance, proclaiming and praising our God with Psalm 90. Our second lesson, 1 Peter chapter 5, the closing words to this first letter of Peter. These words will be the focus of our sermon this evening. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's powerful hand, so that he may lift you up at the appointed time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Have sound judgment. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him by being firm in the faith. You know that the same kinds of sufferings are being laid on your brotherhood all over the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah.
The Gospel, Luke chapter 12, from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. But God said to him, this follows the parable of the rich foolish man who stores up a house and then dies that night. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be demanded of you. Now who will get what you have prepared for yourself? That is how it will be with anyone who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus said to his disciples, for that reason, I tell you, stop worrying about your life, about what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Certainly life is more important than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no warehouse or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single moment to this life? Since you are not able to do this living, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory is dressed like one of these. This is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not constantly chase after what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry about it. To be sure, the nations of the world chase after all these things. But your Father knows that you need them. Instead, continue to seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not become old, a treasure in the heavens that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please join in our hymn 441, O God, our help in ages past, a versified form of Psalm 91.
Oh,
grace, mercy, and peace are ours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, born for us. The word of God we consider this evening is our second lesson, 1 Peter 5. Please be seated. My dear friends, as we gather in Jesus' name on this end of last night of 2021. The other day I was listening to the radio and the voice said, we're all looking forward to 2022, eager to leave behind 2021. I thought, we all are. He's looking forward to a positive change. Apparently, he didn't consider this last year to be all that filled with that many good things. I don't know, and I look back over it, there were a lot of things that were a tremendous blessing. The vaccines that came out so that those who received them had less of a chance of seriously getting sick. The opening of our schools, the opening up of travel and our businesses. But also, not the least of which, was time for a lot of people to reflect on what their life was about. And as a result of it, many people changing to jobs that they are much happier with and killing themselves with the old jobs they had. What that individual expressed is something that is common, though. People are always looking forward to change for something better. But change doesn't always lead to something better, does it? This year, 2022, is going to be a year with change in the air for Peace Evangelical Lutheran Church and for the Huffman family. I don't know, maybe that change makes those of us of a certain generation think of the Bob Dylan song, The Times They Are a-Changin'. A change with a new pastor and a change with a focus on mission and ministry that can seek to advance this congregation's outreach arm, not merely for survival, but to faithfully carry out the mission that Jesus has given. And hopefully God will richly bless that. Of course, change for our family as we move on past being here among you. Changes can be exciting, but as we also know, change, especially when things are unclear, can produce anxiety, worry, fear, and even dread. And that's exactly what we want to consider this evening, not for the purpose of panicking anyone, but for the purpose of preparing us and equipping us for change with the gospel. To remind us of what Peter is telling us in this lesson, even though he doesn't use these words, our unchanging God is our confidence in the face of changing times. Fear, worry, and anxieties all come about when they arise. Remember the gracious invitation that Peter extends to us in these words. Don't think of this as a rule or a command, but a gracious invitation. Cast all your cares on Him, on God, because He cares for you. Now, since anxiety, worry, fear, dread can often seem very natural, just like they did to the Israelites as they saw Pharaoh's army storming down on them, we need to approach this by thinking in advance about it, to prepare ourselves as gospel-liberated people. And to do that, we need to face the reality of anxiety, admit it, and look it straight in the eye. And when we're looking at it, to explore what its real source is of our anxiety, our worries, and our fear. And then, let God's promises set us free so as Peter tells us to be lifted up at the right time. Freeing us from dwelling or even putting up with anxiety, worry, fear, and dread. But instead, having all the good things God has prepared for us in Christ. Facing anxiety. Admitting it and looking it straight in the eye. when anxiety comes, there are those who deny it. I'm not anxious. I just have a legitimate problem. Can't you see the problem? I see it. Yeah, I see it too. But now what? What are you going to do with it? That's the question. Or the person that is defensive. Any thinking person would worry about this. That's just life. That's the way it is. Defending it as if it's strictly a legitimate thing, which the world thinks it is. Even worse for a Christian is surrendering to it. That's just the way I am. That's the way I'm made. I can't change it. That's the way it is. We need to face our anxieties and admit them and then consider the negative impact of worry, anxiety. The negative impact on our health, on our attitudes, on our relationships with those around us, on our spiritual life of rejoicing in the Lord. Because the person who lives with fear, anxiety, and worry, they may be setting themselves on a course where they will die a worry wart and someone who's bitter about their life. If we constantly breathe in the sources of our anxiety and our anxiety, it is a poison to our faith that robs us of the good news that is so precious to us. So, we need to learn the difference when we talk about anxiety between recognizing danger and worrying about the threat. You see, the opposite of fear and anxiety is not being cluelessly carefree, pretending as if there is no problems. That would not be wise, and that's not what's called upon here. In fact, if you look at our text, Peter tells us exactly the opposite so that nobody could slip into that notion. He says, have sound judgment, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He lists the greatest danger that exists out there for God's people and everything else that comes underneath it then would follow. Clearly, there are many dangerous things that if you were on your own, you would have to worry about. The Christian is not supposed to be naive. He calls us specifically to practice sound judgment and to be alert. Now, for sound judgment, you need wisdom. And to be alert, you need to know what you're looking for to be able to spot and identify danger. And again, Peter tells us exactly how to do that. Resist the devil by being firm in the faith. You know that the same kind of sufferings are being laid on the brotherhood all over the world. God's people, growing in Scripture, expect life not to be easy. Expect there be plenty of dangers that surround them. And are prepared by this not to deal with it with anxiety, to recognize all call us to do. Humble yourselves, that God may lift you up in due time. We cannot stand against these things. And the sooner we know that, the better off we'll be. Because when we know that, when we've faced our fears and anxieties and realized God's word, to humbly explore the sources of our persistent anxiety that we have. Now, it's common and natural for us to have dangers arouse anxiety. So, Peter doesn't say, don't have anxiety. He says, take your anxiety and cast it on him. So, for us to have that arise in our life is not the problem. The problem is persisting in it. When we allow anxiety, worry, and fear, dread to persist in our life, then these words should call us to examine the real source. Oh, of course, when you point out those things, the person says, well, I told you, this is what we have to worry about. The thing that is our danger, that's the source of my anxiety. No, that's not the source of your anxiety. That's your reaction to the danger. Now explore why it continues to give you worry and fear. Person says, well, I'm worried because I don't think I know how to handle this. This is something clearly too big for me. It's out of my control. Good. Put those words, those thoughts into words and hear yourself say them out loud. Because when you do as a Christian, you're going to say, well, what else did I expect? I'm not in control. Of course I'm not in control. That's God's work. Yeah, sure, the danger and the troubles are beyond me, but I'm not surprised. None of this is beyond God's power. And the good news is that the Most High God has promised to be my God and my Lord. The one who is in control, and he is in control, even in the midst of the dangers that scare me, he is more than capable to deal with them. He can handle them. So what am I worried about? In humility as a servant, accept the invitation. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Other times when we examine our anxieties, we may discover ourselves saying, I know God can do it, but I'm not sure I'm important enough for him to help me. Well, it's definitely understandable why we'd say that, considering our sin. By ourselves, we are not important enough. We sure don't deserve his help. But remember the words that Peter said. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. One of the fun things about studying the text in the Greek is you see things you wouldn't normally see. That last phrase, he himself will restore, establish, strengthen, and support, all four of those verbs are in the indicative mood, which means it is real. It's not just a pie-in-the-sky dream. It happens. It will happen. And so when we wonder whether we're important enough for God to do it, he says, absolutely. I promise to be your God. I will do it. That's what I said. One last discovery when we examine why we have worry. As we might say, well, I know God is the one that can handle it, and he can handle it. And yeah, I know that he loves me enough that he will. But to be rather honest, I'm not sure he'll do what I think is best for me, what I want. Oh, yes, we need to say that out loud, because as soon as we hear it, we go, are you crazy? You think that you know better than God what is good for you? God is the one who loves us above all. So when we say that out loud, we realize, Lord, forgive me for being such a fool. There is no one who knows what's better for me than the God who made me, the God who is good, and the source of all good. You see, what we discover is whenever we allow worry, fear, dread, anxiety to persist, it's always a first commandment issue, isn't it? We don't have a big enough God. We don't see how big our God is. We fail to love and trust and revere him who is the unchanging God of grace and of good, of all that is good. Exactly what the Bible reveals to us in the gospel, which as believers we humble ourselves down to say, I do believe. I do trust. And when we do, our fears will begin to fade. So what is the solution to our anxieties when we face change? that leaves us wondering what the future is like, or if we can handle it, or if it will be what we want. Don't focus on the thing that causes the anxiety to rise up. Fix your eyes on the unchanging, eternal God of grace, the one who personally came to you in your baptism and promised to be your God 24/7, 365, every day of your lifespan. That was his promise to you. And since he is our Lord, then be his humble servant. And wait on him quietly. Let him be your Lord and stop trying to be your own Lord that feels like you have to fix the problem yourself. When Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him for he cares for you, the word that he uses is so rich. He goes, reach down, grab a hold of your anxiety and take it and hurl it as hard as you can straight over to God. Oh, and when you do that, make sure you don't leave a string attached to it that's attached to your finger so you can pull some of it back. That would be pretty silly. Yes, stupid and foolish. Cast it on him and let him keep it. He says that's his work, to care for you. Let the God of grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus be your God. For the unchanging, our unchanging God is our confidence in changing times. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our creed this evening with hymn 772, verses 1 through 3, modified for New Year's Eve. 72, verses 1 through 3. What a privilege to serve such a God. How much we long to have this message to be shared with others. And so if you wish to contribute for the outreach ministry here and throughout the world through our wells, offerings can be placed in the offering box or sent into the church. To God be the praise and glory. What a privilege to work together for this glorious gospel that has rescued us from worry, fear, and filled us with praise and thanksgiving. Please join in the prayer for the church for New Year's Eve. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day I will praise you and extol your name.
It is fitting, O God, in the final hours of this year, to express our gratitude for the countless gifts of grace we have received from you.
You have been faithful to your promises. You graciously show love to all you created.
You clothe your creation with beauty. You feed even the birds and tell us that we are much more valuable than they.
You know what we need, and you give us all good things.
Clothing and food, safety and health, possessions and money, even life itself. All these come to us from your generous hand.
We thank you for these blessings, and we ask that you continue to grant them to us.
Thank you especially for your word and sacrament, which strengthen our faith, shield us from temptation, enliven and equip us for joy-filled service under your liberating reign.
Increase our commitments to these precious gifts, so that we may continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Gracious Lord, we thank you for being with this congregation throughout these many years. As we look for this new year and the beginning of the call process, we ask for your guidance and blessing on it for this congregation, that you bring to this flock a shepherd who will lead them in the new ministry and work that you have prepared for them. All these things we commend into your hands with the confidence of your love for us and with the joy that you have made us a part of a fellowship of believers, that whatever pastor we call from among our fellowship will be faithful and true to your word and will provide gospel-motivated ministry. For this we thank and praise and ask your blessing upon us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Almighty and eternal God, you have been gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. As you have led your people Israel by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, so lead us by the light of your word, that we may live our lives in your glory and be prepared to die in your peace.
We ask these things in the name of Jesus, in his name we begin this year, in his name we bring it to a close.
So you see, we have a little different order of service for this evening. Confession and absolution is now something we do before communion. So please join in confession. You may be seated or kneel for a confession.
All-knowing, unchanging God of the ages, merciful Savior, hear my confession in closing the hours of this year. A lie or deed that sets me free from the burden and bondage of all my sin. Apply this deed for Jesus' sake. I know how undeserving I am of your compassion and mercy. I have lived for myself as if I was my own God, caring only for Lord Jesus Christ, by your holy incarnation, your body and blood, born to be wounded and sacrificed for these and all iniquities, have mercy on me and set me free from the guilt, punishment, and the power of my sin.
As a servant of Jesus Christ, called to apply his keys in his public ministry of reconciliation, I declare in Jesus' name, you are set free. Jesus completely paid the debt of your guilt. Jesus set you free from the tyranny of your sins. In your baptism, you rose with Jesus from death to new life. His peace is yours as you enter this new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us unite in prayer.
Lord Jesus, with joy and gratitude, I now come to your table to receive the precious food of your life-giving body and blood. May it strengthen me to remain in you as you remain in me, so that I have much fruit in devoted service to you and in acts of kindness to others.
We now turn to the Now Rejoice communion card for our communion liturgy. Oh, may the good Lord be with you.
And may the Lord be with you too.
Lift your hearts to him in praise.
To the Lord our hearts be praised.
Let us offer praises true.
It is fitting so.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the wonder and mystery of his birth, you have opened our eyes to the glory of your grace and renewed our hearts the fervor of your love. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please be seated and come forward as directed.
Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord Jesus, given on Calvary's cross for full payment of your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ. With this blood, he personally seals to you his covenant blessings and promises of the forgiveness of sins, new life, and the promise to save and rescue you until he brings you safely to his heavenly kingdom. May this very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the holy Christian faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace to love and serve your Savior in the new year. Take and eat. It's the body of Christ. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the new covenant. It personally seals to you his promise of forgiveness of sins, new life, and salvation. May this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you the holy Christian faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace to love and serve in his name in this new year.
Please rise and join in the Thanksgiving.
Thank the Lord and praise his voice seems for his promised faithfulness. All who seek the Lord rejoicing tell his love, his name confess. For he leads us with thanksgiving in the paths of righteousness. At your word, Lord, let your servant go in peace, for with my eyes I have seen your bright salvation, Israel's light begin to rise. As the glory of the nations leading us to paradise.
All goodness, in your loving kindness, you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him, you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Now may the good Lord bless and keep, his love in you increase. Lift up his face with shining grace and grant eternal peace.
Closing hymn is printed in the worship folder, hymn 70, verses 1 and 3, modified for New Year's Eve. How special it is to close out the year with one another, with word and song and praise and the Blessed Sacrament. Truly, God has blessed us this last year. We're still here. We're healthy by his grace. We have many blessings. We've grown in many ways. And may he grant us many of those same and new blessings in the new year as we continue to trust in him, not let worry, anxiety, and fear in any way interfere with his glorious work, but rather the occasion be one for us to grow as liberated under the good news. Look forward to this coming Sunday, of course, in 2 days. We gather for worship again on the 2nd of January, and we'll be observing the Epiphany of our Lord 4 days early on that Sunday. So we invite you here and also those who are with us through the Zoomcast to join us for worship in 2 days on Sunday, the 2nd of January. The Lord be with you.